Welcome to the Washington Church Toledo podcast. Together, we are learning to encourage one another to walk with God through cultivating a personal relationship with Jesus the Christ. This podcast consists of recordings from our Sunday morning worship services and other teaching events that you are more than welcome to come join us live at.
Pastor Jimmy, Ann, and Reed are in California visiting Grace, and I'm really, really thankful that we are able to give them that opportunity to get away and rest. But it's my privilege to introduce our guest, a good friend of Ann and Jimmy's who studied spiritual formation with them and has also been a pastor for many years. Would you join me in welcoming Tom Polker up to the stage, please?
Thank you, Corey. It is so good to be with you today. I don't know if you all realize this or not. You have something really special going on here. I mean, I'm serious. I've been doing this sort of thing for 45 years. Karen and Bob know me for, what, 43 years, I think? Something like that. They were in one of the first churches I had. I've been around a long time, and I've seen a lot of displays of the presence of God. Churches who think they understand worship, churches that think they have an understanding of God and the movement of God. This place is very, very, very unique. I love it. I retired at the end of last year, and Julie and I have been hanging out here some. I don't know what it takes to get one of those badges that you wear around the neck. Is there like a certain amount that you have to give, or is it some sort of attendance that you get marked off so many Sundays, and then all of a sudden you get one or whatever? But I'm envious. I see all you folks with these badges, and I'm going, today I got a microphone instead. We have felt loved. I have just been overwhelmed this morning. I got here a little bit early, and Bridget and the team gathered for prayer. Your pastor and Ann both texted me this morning saying they were praying for me, sent me a bunch of hearts. I'm standing in the back, and I'm worshiping. And I went back to Karen to have her pray for me and Bob, and she said, I was just coming to get you to pray for you. And then I'm standing there continuing to worship, and then Steve comes over, and he asks if he can pray for me. There's something unique going on here. I find it incredible, and it stirs my heart, and I'm so grateful to be a part of it this morning. Would you bow your heads with me, and let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words of Scripture, words that call us, words that long to reach into our hearts and stir us, words that ask us to enlarge the place in which we hold them. We give ourselves to that word. Grant us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to understand the things that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you all have been in the book of John, 1 John for a while, right? Seems like every time I came here, we worshiped with you. You were doing something in 1 John. And I know that started before we started attending here as well. You've had a few weeks break, and Jimmy said, I want you to take them back into 1 John. And so that's where we're going today. Our passage of scripture is 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. I find it amazing. I was looking back through some of the things that you all have been focused on Sunday mornings. It's this incredible list. There are 15 different points about love that have been made in the text up until this point. Listen to some of them again. You probably remember every one of them, right? All of the sermons that have gone on and all the teachings that have happened, they're in your heart, they're stirring in there, they're working on you, and you've got them all down pat. But just for the one or two people that might not have that going, let's just briefly read through this list. Beginning in chapter 3, behold the kind of love the Father has for us, that we are called his children. God's message from the beginning has been that we should love one another. Very beginning, that message has always been the same, that we love one another. We know that we pass from death to life because we love others. And this is how we know love. Jesus laid down his life for us. Oh, and we should do the same for others. Let us not love in word or in talk, but in deeds and in truth. This is God's commandment. Believe in the name of Jesus and what? Love one another. Beloved, let us love one another. Love is from God, and whoever loves is born of God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is what? Love. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. We come to know that God loves us, and we believe in it, we rely upon it, we trust in it. We have to in order to make it through this life. 1 John 4:16, God is love. John has to go back to that, say those exact same words a couple of times. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. Love is made complete among us when in this world we are like Jesus. And we love because God first loved us. And then finally, it is impossible to love the invisible God and not love our visible neighbors. A lot of love stuff there. It's pretty incredible, really, when you think about it. We have four more ideas this morning in the text that we have that you see there. First of all, it says, everyone who loves God's children as well. And then it says, we know we love God's children when we love God. Now sit there, play with that a little bit, just those two phrases. We know everyone who loves God's children as well. And we know we love God's children when we love God. So which comes first, loving God or loving God's children? Yes, that's a good answer. Yes. It's like the old Laurel and Hardy, who's on first? You know, you just start chasing that around. We know we love God because we love others. Oh, and we love others because we love God. And it just keeps going around. They're like inseparable things that we have to just keep reminding ourselves that this whole thing of love is much bigger than we ever imagined. When we love God, we love his kids. And when we love God's kids, we love God. And I can hear somebody say, well, who are God's children? Here's the thing. You never know. So probably it'd be a good idea just to love everybody, right? You never know. There's a second set of scriptures here that we want to look at. And I find these deeply intriguing, and it was something that I just spent, actually the last 2 weeks, Jimmy gave me the text several weeks ago, began sitting with it and just reflecting upon it, and it says this: we love God by obeying his commandments. And his commands are not hard to obey. I ask myself the question, does God have any idea of some of the people that I'm being asked to love? Because it seems as though that's hard. Yeah, I got onto the expressway today coming here from White House, following somebody who decided to use the emerging on-ramp as a means to get up to about 40 miles an hour before they got onto the expressway. I was thinking, I'm going to have to minister on love, and here I am just giving this person an earful if they could hear. People irritate us, right? Am I wrong? Even our spouses, who we probably have the deepest connection and love with, they irritate us. I just retired, and we talked about it. Julie and I decided we've been married for going on 48 years. And we decided that we were not going to retire together, because the idea of spending 24/7 all of a sudden was going to be more than 48 years of building a love relationship could handle. Even my sweet, precious wife irritates me. Now, I don't irritate her, but she irritates me. We're commanded to love people, and those commandments are not difficult. They're not hard to obey. Text says they're not burdensome. Some texts say they're not troublesome. Some say they're not grievous. Some say they're not difficult or they're not hard. So I ask myself the question, why is it that it's so hard? Why is it that we have all of these things telling us constantly to love? Why does God keep seeing this need to present to us this idea? Listen, this whole thing's about love. It seems like telling us once or twice or half a dozen times should be sufficient. And yet I just read to you 15 ideas of love in 1 John that you all have been spending time with. And yet today we have some more. God's commands are not hard to obey. And so I sat with that and I thought, how can that be? And I think I understand a little bit more how that can be possible. That's what I want to explore with you this morning. So let me give you some general thoughts. I have some assumptions that I make about love. Let's see if those assumptions are kind of borne out in you today, all right? The first one is, love is something that everyone is in favor of. Does that sound legit? Nobody, I don't think anybody says, boy, we just need more hate in the world. We pretty much are in favor of the idea that the more love there is, the better things are, right? Everybody seems to be in favor of that. I can't imagine. Maybe there are people, well, like Scrooge, or maybe somebody who is like really radical in a hatred sort of thing might not be in favor of that. But for the average person, I think all of us have a sense in which we're in favor of love. I would love to experience it more, right? I would love to be more loving. There's just something about it that's always there calling us. Second assumption. Love is something that everyone believes in, right? We believe in it. We believe that it holds something of power in our lives. From the time you began to before you were even beginning to be rational in how you approach life or used intellect in how you approach life, you're a little child. You were looking for love, because you believed in it, that there was something about it that brought a feeling or a sense of favor to your life. Pull a little child away from a mother and see what happens. Have a child get lost or separated from their parent and see what happens. There's something about love that calls us. We believe in it. We believe in its power. I think to myself sometimes, if I could just help someone know that they're loved, many of their issues or their problems could go away. Don't you know that many people who have problems with addiction, or many people who struggle to keep life straight, who are always seeming to be in trouble, there's something missing in the way of love. We believe that love has a power to mold and shape our lives. The third assumption is this: love is something that everyone is looking for. Like I said, the little child, they're not even old enough to form ideas and begin to think on their own. And intuitively, they're looking for love. They go and they seek out places where they are loved. I have a little granddaughter who's 6 years old now, Julie. 6 years old. She will not come to me. I can bribe her with candy. I can promise her, you know, a big hug. I can promise not to touch her. I can just stand there and just say, "Would you come here?" She has to be told to hug me, because somehow in her mind, I don't know how you can imagine this big, lovable teddy bear up here. She doesn't trust that I love her. And she ain't gonna violate that feeling. I see her come running to Julie. I see her responding to so many other people and their love. She clings to her cousin. Love is something that all of us are looking for. It's what, from the moment you get hormones, you begin to have this drive to go out and find somebody who's going to love you. We want to be appreciated in our jobs and loved by those who we work for. We want to be surrounded by love in the church we attend. We're on a constant search for, constant putting out feelers for places where we might be loved. And it never stops. I think that we do whatever we need to do in order to try to attract love. It affects how we dress. It affects how we act. It affects how we carry ourselves. It affects everything about our lives, because we want so desperately to be loved. When it's missing, we hurt. When love lets us down, it might be the most painful experience we have as human beings. Somebody that we thought for sure loved us, all of a sudden turns on us or departs from us. Why does that hurt so bad? Because something inside of us is looking for love in every way possible. And I want to make one final assumption about love, and I want us to think about it just for a moment. Love's dominant hold on us is something that comes from deep within us. How do you describe love? Can you feel it? Can you hold it? Is it in a picture? Is it an idea? No, it's something that emerges from deep, deep within. It comes to us in our creation. God, who is love, formed us, created us. That same love breathed into us the spirit of that love, and we became living souls. That same love forms our being in His image. We are created in the image of God. We are created in the image of love. Everything about us, from deep within to the fashioning of our bodies, is birthed out of love. And because of that creation, we are bound forever to love. We have no choice. We have no choice but to look for it. We have no choice to believe, but to believe in it. We have no choice but to understand that we all think everything would be better with it. We are creatures of love. We are formed in love. We are breathed into by love. We are objects of God's love from the very first breath we ever take. And that's never changed. It has never changed. Love is what gives us energy for life. It's what causes us to desire to give to other people. And I believe that we find the commandments of God to love others hard. I believe that part of the reason for that is that something in the fall, something in the original sin of Adam and Eve, warped that within us. And we have to come to God in humble surrender to get it back. Now, let's just look at a couple of things about God's love. First of all, God's love is like all other loves. Let me say that over here. God's love is like all other loves. You see, whatever you perceive love to be, that's how you perceive God's love for you. So love from God is just like all other loves. Somebody smiles at you, you sense God smiling at you. Somebody gives you a gift, and God gives you, grants you something that's amazing in the way of a gift. However you understand love, however you frame love in your own life, however you see it, God is just like that in love. He loves us like all others. I'm going to pull out Jimmy's box here. I asked him to save it because I was so mesmerized by it the last several weeks. So when we think of God's love being like all others, we can put that in the box. Right? That's how we see it. We even see the second thing, and that is that God's love is like some others. There are times where people love us exceptionally. There are times where we witness some spectacular act of love. Maybe a fireman goes into a building, risks his own life to save someone inside. Extraordinary acts of love. God loves us like some other people love us. Normally within that, there's something unexpected that happens. Something is done for us or to us or on our behalf that is just above and beyond. Your pastor and his wife have loved me like that. It's humbling. What do I have to do to keep that? What do I need to do to make sure that that stays in place because I love it so much? They have a special way of loving other people. And it's deeply impacted my own life. Put that in our box. I don't know if the box opens up or not. Oh, yeah. That goes in the box. But the third thing about God's love cannot go in the box. God's love, God loves us like no one else does. There is no way to put that kind of love in the box. First of all, I don't understand it. As I said, I'm always someone who is, if I experience love, I'm thinking, don't screw it up, poker. Don't mess it up. Don't be that person who takes that love from someone and does something stupid and cuts it off. What do I need to do, Tom, to keep somebody's love or earn somebody's love? If I look differently, or I acted differently, or I somehow was more intelligent or more talented, would people love me more? And God loving us like no other is way beyond any of that. God loves us like no other because God's love is unconditional. It's an incredible idea. I can't describe it for you. I can't describe unconditional love. I can't say, look over here. I mean, the closest you can probably come to it is if you have a dog. Right? Dogs kind of have an unconditional love. It's like you can point your finger at them and say, that was bad, and then like this. And the moment later, they're right up next to you and they're loving you. That pales in comparison. Unconditional. There are no conditions with it. There's no pretense to it. There's nothing you can do to earn it. Even you, poker, can't mess that one up. There's no action you can take. There's no attitude that you can take. There is nothing about your life that could ever make God stop loving you. He cannot love you any less, and he could never love you any more. It is just pure, unconditional love. For 45 years, I've ministered the gospel. I've spoken on God's love I don't know how many times. I believe in God's love. I testify to God's love. I love singing about God's love. But about 2 months ago, I was sitting and I was reflecting on a passage regarding God's love. And all of a sudden, the unconditional nature of the love of God hit me. And it broke me. I began weeping. I was so broken by it, I didn't know what to do. Because it's strange, that kind of love. I ask you to consider that if you think about unconditional love, there's only one thing you can do. Only one. And that is to surrender to it. It disarms you. I don't know what to do with this. And God just says, just simply surrender. Allow it to fully embrace you. And you know what the result of that is? When you understand or you experience that kind of love, it changes everything because it becomes a part of you and you begin to see people in a totally different way. I think of all the things in my life We sang about it a little bit ago. But I think of all the things in my life that would disqualify me from that love. I think of all the things in my life that made that kind of love to me seem impossible. When we are talking about unconditional love, we are talking about a love in which the perfect man, the perfect Christ, who went about doing good and healing all who were afflicted, is now brought up on charges. He is shamed. He is rejected. He is brutalized. He is stripped. And he is hung on a cross. And he is mocked. From that place, Father, forgive them. They don't know. What kind of love is that? That the very worst of humanity gather together doing the very worst things possible to someone totally innocent is responded to with love. It's overwhelming. God's love is amazing because God is not disgusted by our unlovability. It's amazing because God is not put off by our rejection. He keeps running after me, running after me. God does not keep track of our failures. How many times in life do we look at someone and says, I don't know. I can't do this anymore. You've done this, 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 and this. Oh yeah, you say you love me, but you did it again. God is not put off by any of those things. God doesn't give up on us when we walk away. Instead, he comes running out when he sees the sun returning. And embraces him and throws a feast. The son of mine was dead and now he's alive. He's now with me. Let us all celebrate. God doesn't wait for us to get it right. Comb our hair a certain way, put on the right makeup, wear the right clothes. He doesn't require us to do anything to receive his unconditional love. And if God so loves us that way, how can we not love others that way? I begin to see the connection between the two. Only when I know that I am loved can I risk loving others. I can't describe any of this. I can only ask you to just open your heart this morning to receive it. I read this morning in my devotional time. I want you to think about this. It's truly a matter of wonder and amazement. It's truly a matter of wonder and amazement that God, before whom the heavens are unworthy. It's beyond anything we can comprehend that the heavens that surround God are in a state of non-purity in regards to God. It's something of wonder and amazement to think that God, before whom the most glorious angels who have ever been made bow in worship. Those same angels, when encountering human beings, cause human beings just to fall as if they're dead. It's just this sense of a matter of wonder and amazement when you think about heaven and angels and God being so far greater than any of that, that God, it says, should think to take delight and great pleasure in abiding in me. You hear that? That the God who is above all things says, I take pleasure, I delight in residing inside of you and loving you like no other. When God does that, He enlarges our hearts. We become large enough and our hearts become pure enough that we can be God's dwelling place and God can love others through us. And that, my friends, is not burdensome. How do I know if I've experienced this kind of love? You know, because you experience people differently. Rather than the 45 mile an hour merge ramp ticking you off, you begin to have compassion. The people who are the most despicable, you begin to see them as so far from the love of God and the realization of it. People belonging to groups that you don't agree with, rather than smearing them and being opposed to them, you begin to look at them and say, they don't know. And you begin to pray for them. I want this last screen to be put up, last slide. This is our goal. This will be the prayer that you pray every day in your daily readings this week as you just sit with this idea. Because I can only surrender to this love. I can't earn it. I can't deserve it. I can't do anything to keep it. Through surrender, I seek to more deeply experience love loving me so that I might be love loving others. That's the goal of all of this. It's the cat chasing the tail. I seek to be so entrenched in love loving me that I become love loving others. Amen? Let's pray. Take these words, Lord God, seal them into our hearts. But more than words, help us catch a vision of who you are, how much you love us, the incredible breadth of that love, that we might become your conduit of loving others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. If you're looking for a way to get plugged into what we're doing, email us at office@washingtonchurch.org or go to our website, washingtonchurch.org.